In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today.
We spoke about Paul's conversion last week and yesterday, and I want you to know that in order to understand the letters of St. Paul, Galatians, Ephesians, and so on, you must understand his conversion. If you do not understand his conversion, you cannot understand what he is talking about. I look at Galatians, the first chapter, the first verse. Paul, an apostle, not by men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. In other words, the apostleship came on the road to Damascus. Chapter 1, verse 11. "But I, Paul, certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not after men. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but I received it by revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my conversion in time past in the Jewish religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and it profited in the Jewish religion above so many of my equals. I was zealous after the tradition of my fathers, but when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his Son in me and to me, that I might preach him among the heathen, the Gentiles, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood." We see that Paul, by revelation, preached the gospel. He was not taught the gospel by Peter. He was not taught the gospel by James or John, but he preached the gospel by revelation. And it all happened on the way to Damascus, on the Damascus road, when the Lord Jesus appeared to Paul, Saul, and said, "Why do you persecute me? Who are you? I am Jesus whom you persecute." The whole body of Christ experience in 1 Corinthians 12:13 and 11, 12:13 and 14 comes from this: "I am Jesus whom you persecute." In other words, on the road to Damascus, he learned about the body of Christ, because to persecute the Christians was to persecute Jesus. To persecute the members was to persecute the head, 1 Corinthians 12:13 and 14. So I want you to know, you can never understand Paul unless you understand what he did, or what God did on the Damascus road. He changed this man in the center of his being. He took the heart of stone and he gave him a heart of flesh. Paul persecuted Christians. Why? Because the Bible says, "Cursed is the man who dies upon a cross." But Jesus Christ died on a cross. How could he be the Messiah? So that's why Paul persecuted Christians. But you know what happened after that? On the Damascus road, he met the Lord, and by revelation, the Lord gave him the gospel. It is so important. The word revelation means to take the veil off. The Lord took the veil off of Paul's eyes, after Paul's heart, and he became the great preacher to the heathen or to the Gentiles. We must also remember that the gospel is to the Jew first and then to the heathen. So Paul always started by going to the synagogue and preached the gospel in the synagogue. He would be thrown out, he would be stoned, they would want no part of it, and then he'd go to the Gentiles. Why? Because the gospel is to the Jew first and then to the Gentile. I'm on the radio today, and I know I'm speaking to Jewish people. Jesus Christ died for your sins. Jesus Christ was buried. Jesus Christ rose from the dead, and he wants to become personal to the Jew and to the Gentile. He is real. He is the Lord. He paid for our sins. You say, how could he pay for our sins? With his precious blood, he paid for our sins. And we must know that by grace, that Jesus paid for our sins with his precious blood. The scripture says there is no forgiveness of sins without the shedding of blood. The sacrifice of Jesus ended all blood sacrifice. He died for us. Through him, with him, and in him, O God, Almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours forever and ever. Through Jesus, with Jesus, and in Jesus, O God, Almighty Father, all glory and honor is yours. Amen, amen, amen. I'm looking at Acts 9, verse 36. Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple. No, I'm 32. And it came to pass, as Peter passed throughout the quarters, he came down to the saints that dwelled in Lydda. And there he found a certain man named Aeneas, which had kept his bed 8 years and was sick of palsy. So he had the palsy. And Peter said unto Aeneas, Jesus Christ makes you whole. Arise and make your bed. And he arose immediately. And all that dwelt at Lydda and Saron saw him and turned to the Lord. On Saturday that just passed, we had a man that came to us, very interesting. On Holy Saturday that just passed, he fell down the stairs and broke his back. The doctor said that he would never, ever walk again. Well, thank God he walked into the church. So he walked. So when he came to be prayed with, I said to him, are you in pain? And you could just tell that he was in tremendous pain. And so I prayed in the name of Jesus by the power of the blood of the Lamb that the pain would cease and he would be healed. Well, tears started to come from the man's eyes. Why tears? I said, what's wrong? What's happening? He says, the pain just left me. I tell you, this is Jesus working through people. This is Jesus working through people as Peter healed Aeneas. Really, Jesus did it through the ministry of Peter. We see last week the man that had tremendous pain because he broke his back. The Lord took from him that pain. I pray he's still without pain. I pray God continue to bless him, that God continue to move in his life. And the scripture says, now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha. Now, see, you can become a woman disciple. Remember, Mary sat at the feet of Jesus. Mary of Bethany sat at the feet of Jesus. That meant she was a disciple. Now, Tabitha is another disciple, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds she did. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and she died. So we see that Tabitha or Dorcas, the same person, died after being sick, whom they had washed and laid her in the upper chamber. So they're ready for burial. And far as much as Lydda was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto Peter two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he had come, they brought him into the upper chamber. Who's in the upper chamber? We know that Tabitha or Dorcas is in the upper chamber. And all the widows stood by him weeping and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was still with them. But Peter put them all forth and knelt down and prayed, and turning him to the body, said to Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. She's no longer dead. Jesus said you'll raise the dead. Jesus said you'll cleanse the leper. Jesus said you'll give people who are lame would walk. Jesus said the deaf would hear. But it takes faith. It took faith for Peter to say to the dead body of Dorcas or the dead body of Tabitha, same person, get up, just get up. be healed in the name of Jesus. And we saw that she arose and opened her eyes, and she saw Peter, and she sat up. And he gave her his hand, and he lifted her up. And when he had called the saints and widows present, he presented her alive. And it was known throughout all of Joppa that many believed in the Lord. And it came to pass that he tarried many days in Joppa, and with Simon the tanner. I tell you, this is very interesting, because God knows how to work miracles, because he is the miracle worker. I'll never forget, I was praying with a woman on the phone about a priest who was her brother, and he had cancer, and they were getting ready for his funeral. I'll never forget. And I said, why don't we just pray now? And I prayed in the name of Jesus that he would be healed. Listen to this now. He was in front of the Blessed Sacrament as I was praying with his sister, and he felt the healing power of God come upon him, and he knew that he was healed. He lived 2 or 3 years more, and you know, finally he died. But you see, God was present in the prayer of faith, that while he was adoring Jesus at the sacrament, God healed him, and he knew that he wasn't going to be buried. I tell you, it's wonderful when you have to cancel funerals. It's wonderful when you have to cancel funerals. I remember going to a sister's convent in Dedham so many years ago. I remember kneeling at her bedside, and I remember praying for her. And they had already picked the readings for her funeral. And I remember praying for her. I did not know she was healed. Years later, they told me that sister was healed. Healed, and I never forget, because the room was stark and the room was just empty of a crucifix and a little rug, scatter rug. And I remember praying for this sister. They had already prepared her for the funeral. I think it's wonderful when God cancels funerals, let me tell you. You know, then you really have the funeral what it's supposed to be. F-U-N, fun. R-E-A-L, real fun. When God raises people from the dead, it's real fun. It's wonderful. It's the Lord. It's the power of God. And it's so wonderful to be part of that. Now, did I do it? No, I didn't do it. Who did it? The Lord did it. But you know what? He did it through me. If I didn't go to that house that day, they would have probably buried her. Now, I know I'm not the Messiah. I know that I'm just a broken man that needs Jesus more than you do, and I have him by the grace of God. But I know that you can be the person that stands in the gap for people. I received a call that Sister Miriam broke her hip and her arm was in a sling, and I prayed with Miriam. I prayed that as she stood in the gap for so many thousands of people to be healed, that God would heal her. I remember many, many years ago when I was in the seminary, Miriam had a lump on her breast. And very interestingly enough, I called the hospital and they put me through. That was impossible at that time. They never put anyone through. There must have been someone working that was new. And I prayed with Sister Miriam that Jesus would heal her. I wasn't the only person who prayed. People had been praying and praying and praying and praying. But you know what happened? She went down and there was no lump anymore. Hallelujah. The Lord healed Sister Miriam of that lump. She did not have to have her breast taken away. I'm telling you, it is there for us to stand in the gap for the sick people and watch God do miracles. It's so important to watch God who do miracles. I remember the man who came into the service at Waltham, and he came into the service and he said, I have a miracle in my pocket. I'm not leaving here until I get it. He was on a cane. We prayed for him, and he started to walk up and down, and then on the weekend he went dancing, and people wanted to know, where was his cane? He says, I had a miracle in my pocket. Jesus healed me. And he's dancing on the floor, and people have to take witness that God did it, because you know what? They knew he had to be on a cane. No more God healed him. And I'm telling you, the Lord is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he knows how to heal people. He knows how to make people well. He is God Almighty. I look at chapter 10 of Acts of the Apostles. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band. So Cornelius belonged to the Italian band. I always say the first Gentile to be healed and to come to Christ was an Italian. He belonged to the Italian band. A devout man and one that feared God and all his house. They gave many alms to the people and they prayed to God always. Cornelius saw in a vision about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming to him and saying to him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Your prayers and your alms have come up as a memorial before God. That's something. Your alms, the money that you've given, have come up as a memorial before God. I'm telling people that are having hard times with money, start to tithe your money because God will honor that. He'll open the windows of heaven for you. And you say, I don't have enough to tithe. Yes, you don't have enough not to tithe, I'm telling you, because God opens the windows of heaven when we begin to give our tithes and our offerings. Now, offerings are beyond the tithe. A tithe is 10% of what I make, and offerings are after the 10%. But you see what happened? The prayers and the almsgiving came before God as a memorial. And now he said, send to Joppa and call one named Simon, whose surname is Peter. And he lodged with one Simon the tanner, whose house is by the seaside. And he shall tell you what you ought to do. And when the angel which spoke unto Cornelius departed, he called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. This is going to be the first Gentile house that's going to be healed and going to come to know Jesus Christ. You see, God is too big to be only for the Jews. God is too big to be only for the Catholics. God is for everybody. Then you just follow the lead. People say, I want to become a Catholic. I said, you want to become a Catholic? That's a wonderful thing. If the Lord called you to be a Catholic, that's a holy thing. And I don't force anyone to become Catholic because they say, you know, I found Jesus through your ministry. I'm going to become a Catholic. You become a Catholic because God tells you to become a Catholic. Yes, the Catholic faith has the fullness of faith, but I'm not going to force anyone to be Catholic or anything else. I'm there to pray for the sick. I'm there to preach the word of God. And if they become Catholics, and I know that many people who listen to me never were Catholic, and now they are Catholic, and they're enjoying the blessed sacrament, the Eucharist. They're enjoying the going to church. They're enjoying what God has taught them from within. But you see, I don't make Catholics. God does. God does. I don't make seminarians that become priests. God does through my ministry. That's real. I was told that one of the primitive observance of Saint Francis one day heard me on the radio, and he decided to become a priest because he heard the preacher preaching. I don't know what I was preaching about that day, but because he heard me that day, he decided to give his life to Jesus in the priesthood. Isn't that wonderful? I found that out years and years later. Isn't that wonderful? I never forget a long time ago when I was home with my mother, and I was having a difficult time. I received a letter from a seminarian who was in Rome, and he said, I hear you're having a difficult time. I want you to know you've blessed me so many times, and I'm praying for you. So my difficulty went all the way to Rome. That's something. He left the seminary and now is married and does the work of the Lord. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? He's a Catholic layperson who touches so many people. He's written books. He touches so many people. But isn't it wonderful that I have an ability to pray and to worship and to speak over the airwaves? Everybody doesn't have that ability. But God has given me that grace, and it is a grace. And I know it's a grace because I couldn't do it without the Lord. I wouldn't do it without the Lord. It would be impossible. And so the next thing says, on the next day, as they went on their journey, the three men that went to see Peter at Caesarea, and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray. It was about the sixth hour. Now he's going to have a vision. Oh yes, he's going to have a vision. And he became very hungry, and he wanted to eat something. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance. So they're cooking downstairs, and he falls into a trance. He's so hungry. And he saw the heavens opened, and a certain vessel descending upon him, as he had a great big sheet, and it had four corners, and was let down to the earth. And there on the sheet stood four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, rise, kill, and eat. But Peter's going to say, I can't eat this. This is not kosher. This is not kosher. I cannot eat things that are not kosher. Peter said, no, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is unclean or common. I only eat kosher food. But the Lord was getting him ready to go to an unkosher house where Cornelius' house was unkosher. They were Gentiles, and they were people who prayed, and they were people who gave alms. And this vision is all about the conversion of the Gentiles. And the voice spoke unto Cornelius again the second time, what God has cleansed, you shall not call common. God had cleansed Cornelius and his household, and he was getting ready. They're getting ready to send for some Peter to tell them the good news. And this was done three times, and a vessel was received up again into heaven. Now while Peter doubted in himself what the vision meant, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house, and they stood at the gate. Now these people are Gentiles, and they are to the Jews common. But what God calls uncommon and blessed, you must call uncommon and blessed. Kosher. This is real. And they called Peter there. And while Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, behold, three men are seeking you. Arise, get down to them and go with them. Do not doubt, for I have sent them. Oh yes, Peter had to be the one to preach the gospel to the Gentiles, because that's had to be. He was the leader, because then Gentiles would come into the church, and then you'd have to come up with the reason why Gentiles, because the Jews always thought it was only the Jews who would be saved. But the gospel is to the Jew first, then to the Gentiles. And so what happens next? Then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius and said, behold, I am he whom you are seeking. That is the cause, or what is the cause? Therefore, why do you come here? And they said, Cornelius, the centurion, a just man, one that fears God and is of good report among all the nation of the Jews, was warned from God by a holy angel to send for thee into his house and to hear words from you. Then called he them in and lodged them there. And the next day Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied Peter. Let me tell you, this is so important. The importance of Cornelius' house becoming Christian, Cornelius' house becoming faithful. Oh yes, they were doing all these good works. They were praying. They were doing everything. But what's Peter going to do? Oh, you know what he's going to do. He's going to preach Jesus. going to preach Jesus, going to preach his death, going to preach his burial, going to preach his resurrection. And you know what's going to happen? You're going to see the conversion of the Gentiles. So how do we know they were converted? They start speaking in other languages and started to prophesy, because the same spirit that came upon the apostles at Pentecost came upon them. Oh yes, God is too loving to save only the Jews. God is too loving to save only the Gentiles. He wants to save every man, every woman who is Jew or Gentile, and the only way to salvation is through Jesus Christ and through his blood and through his death and through his burial and resurrection. Do you know today that Jesus took your sins upon the cross? Do you know today that Jesus wants to give you the grace of God to live a life that is in him? Maybe he's calling you to be a priest, and you're saying, I don't want to go there. Well, you know what? I was saying that for so many years. I don't want to go there, but I ended up there anyway, because God won. Hallelujah. Isn't it wonderful when we let God win? So I tell you, my friends, this is so important, that Jesus Christ is for Jew and for Gentile. I thank you for listening. We really need to pay April's bills, and we're not able to pay them unless you help us. Could you write to Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. That's Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please send something so we could pay April's bills. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, let it be done unto me according to thy word. And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory as the only Son of God, full of grace and full of truth. May his name be praised, Jesus. God bless you.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.